Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
We're right at home. The old homestead's just across the street here, and we like to go back by there, and a lot of memories flood. My wife's life, especially, but mine too. I have a close connection with your church and with your family, and it's just, I feel at home tonight. So if that's all right, I'll just do a little home preaching, and we'll have a good time. Amen. Amen. Thank you for just welcoming us. If you want to turn your Bibles to Exodus, or in your iPad, whichever one you want to use tonight. But we're going to go to the Word of the Lord here in just a moment. I'm glad to have my grandson with me tonight. We got Brendan with us tonight, and I asked him if he had a word for the church, and he didn't have a word tonight, but maybe next time we come, he'll have a word to give. He's a fine-looking young man. Make sure all the 10-year-old girls are way away from him, because he's something else. He's a good fella. We've had a big time this week. Living on empty. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21 tonight. It reads like this, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty." Amen? When you leave here tonight, you don't have to leave here empty. You may have came here empty tonight, but you don't have to leave here empty. Amen? There's a God, and we just talked about him. He has filled the house, amen? He has filled the house with his presence, and he's here to fill the empty spots in your life tonight. I don't know what it is, but he does. And he's got it all in control tonight, amen? Can we pray together? Lord, we love you. God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this night. We thank you for this time that we are sharing together. Lord, we ask you to anoint your word. Anoint me to bring something to your people tonight, just something to encourage and to lift them up. And I will give you all the glory and all the praise. For I'm not here, Lord Jesus, except by your favor and by your strength and by your anointing. And I give you honor tonight as I fill in for my friend tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. What anointed music and ministry in this place. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you for your time tonight. You may be seated. We often celebrate some things in the Word of God that are empty. We love to celebrate an empty tomb, don't we? We love to celebrate an empty cross. Those things make us happy to celebrate the emptiness of the tomb or the emptiness of the cross. But tonight, we may not be celebrating some other things that are empty. Empty relationships and empty promises and empty finances and other things that have stacked against your life. You would think that with 7.5 billion people in the world, how could anyone be lonely? How could anybody in a building, in a church like this, be lonely? But the statistics prove to us that 1 out of 5 Americans, with all of the social media and all of the Facebook that we have and all of the friends that we have, right, on Facebook, supposed friends we have on Facebook, with all of those friends, 1 out of 5 Americans feels chronically lonely. That means it is a recurring part of their life. They wake up or go to bed daily thinking that I am alone in this world. For all of you that are close to 45, I'm getting real close to it. Some guy the other day, I was helping him fix up a little house, and we were working together, and he had another crew working on another house. And so he was very disappointed in what his crew was doing at his other house. And so he come and talked. He told me later, he said, I went over there and you know what I told him? He said, me and a 50-something-year-old man are out working, y'all. It's the first time in my life I've ever been called a 50-something-year-old man and made it to sound like I was just barely on one leg and barely, you know, getting along. Anyway, for all of you that are over 45, 1 in 3 feel chronically lonely. Psychologist Clive Hazel attributes the feelings of emptiness to problematic family backgrounds with abusive relationships and mistreatment. He claims that some people who are facing a sense of emptiness try to resolve their painful feelings by becoming addicted to drugs or obsessive activity or engaging in frenzied action or even violence. Louis Dupré, a philosopher at Yale University, argues that the spiritual emptiness of our time is a symptom of its religious poverty. He claims that many people never experience any emptiness. They are too busy to feel much absence of any kind. But they quickly realize the spiritual emptiness in their life when painful experiences come their way. When they face the death of a loved one, or the collapse of a marriage, or the alienation of a child, or the failure of a business, all of a sudden it shocks them into reassessing their very sense of meaning in life. Abraham Twersky, a 1997 book, wrote on addictive thinking, understanding self-deception. He argues that when people feel spiritually empty, they often turn to the addictive behaviors in the inner void. In contrast to having an empty stomach, which is a clear feeling, having spiritual emptiness is hard to identify. I say this all the time. I tell people, you miss a meal or two, your stomach will let you know. Your body's going to let you know. If you miss a compliment or two, it may take a week or two, but if nobody feels your little emotional bucket, it may take you a little while, but pretty soon you're going to look around and go, nobody likes me. But spiritually, we can go days and weeks, and until something really jars us, then we realize, I haven't been praying, I hadn't been fasting, I hadn't been seeking God, I haven't been in relationship with Him, and all of a sudden I realize just how spiritually empty I am in my life. He says, while people may try to resolve this emptiness by obsessively overeating or taking drugs or alcohol, these are only a temporary satisfaction. And when a person facing a crisis due to feeling spiritually empty is able to stop one addiction, they often just trade it for another. There have been singers and songwriters that have tried to put this emptiness in words. Eric Carmen wrote a song that you're probably familiar with called All By Myself. Living alone, I think of all the friends I've known. But when I, now y'all don't know how to do this, but when I dial the telephone, nobody's home. Now you have to explain that to all these millennials tonight. They don't know how to dial a telephone. It's a foreign thing for them. All by myself. I don't want to be all by myself anymore. J.D. Stroop wrote it this way. I can feel the fire when it burns against my skin. I can feel the rain when it caresses my face and the breeze of the feet as it fingers my hair. I have all the senses that other people do. I'm just empty inside. You see, the creditors were coming. Her husband was dead. She had her two sons, but they would soon be bondsmen enslaved by those creditors. The legal way for her debt to be paid. That's a pretty bad situation when the only way you can pay your debt is to let your two sons be enslaved by your creditors. I would say distraught is not the word, but maybe emptiness is. And she was faced with an empty situation. But the man of God came by and he just had a simple word. What do you have? What do you have? Come on, you need to look at yourself this morning. You need to ask yourself that tonight. What do you have? What do you have? She said, all I have is a pot of oil. Some believe this was no more than a jar, but maybe just enough for anointing, not even enough for cooking. That's what you call living on empty. She was living on empty, living with life stacked against her. She said, all I have is a little bit of oil. We don't know how the debt got here. We just know it's overwhelming. We know it was consuming her. We know it was a cloud that was over every other part of her life. And the prophet said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go and borrow. I want you to start borrowing. I want you to go to every neighbor that you got, every person that you associate with. I want you to go to every vessel you can find. I want you to go get them all. Get everything that's empty and bring it in this house. And I'm going to show you what God is about to do in your life. Amen. Tonight, you may have came in here empty, but I'm telling you, you need to start grabbing a hold to every vessel that you can get, because God's about to start pouring out into your life. And God's about ready to do something that you didn't think was possible, that you didn't think was going to work. But God has come in this place tonight with his presence. And you've already sung about him filling this house. If he has filled this house, he's ready to fill the empty vessel. He's ready to take care of the emptiness that exists in this room tonight. There is no emptiness that my God can't fill. There's no emptiness and there's no void that he can't fill. If he can fill the galaxy with stars, if he can fill this place with planets that are beyond our scope of amazement tonight, he can fill this room with his presence and do something for you right now. Amen. He said, go and borrow a lot of empty vessels. He said, not just a few. When you have a lot of debt, you're going to need a lot of empty vessels for God's miracle. The greater the debt, the more vessels it's going to take. When you're down to nothing, you know this, God's up to something, right? And the further down you are, the greater the need you have for empty vessels. Now, I don't read a whole lot of Facebook. I try not to. It's depressing. If you're in a depressed state, you can get off Facebook. That'll help you. Somebody put this, they put all these things out there, you know, if you had three choices, and they said that door number one was your soulmate. And door number two was $100 million. And door number three was a time machine. Which one would you pick? I thought about, my first thought was my soulmate, because I found my soulmate. And life's so much sweeter with your soulmate. And then I thought, man, $100 million. Lord have mercy, that's a lot of money. Wouldn't have to go to work, wouldn't have to pastor, wouldn't have to do all that stuff. And then I thought, buy a time machine. Man, you could go back and clean up every mistake. You could go back and get a mulligan. You know, you could go back and get a do-over. You see, you could go back and whatever the decision caused the debt, or whatever decision caused the broken relationship, or whatever decision you made that got you in this place in the first place. You could just go back in that time machine. I know this lady, if she could just go back and go back to the death of her husband. What if it was just an accident or something that if she could go back, she could stop it and she could have her husband back and she could say, now we can have plenty of oil in this house and we can have everything we need because we could go back and erase some of that and start over. But I got bad news for this church tonight. There's no such a thing. And God's not the God of yesterday. And he's not the God of tomorrow. Come on. Oh, we know that he's got tomorrow in his hand. Don't misconstrue what I'm trying to say there. But I don't want the devil to drag me into yesterday or tomorrow. If I let him take me to yesterday, he's going to beat me up. If I let him take me into tomorrow, my mind and my worries and my fears are going to beat me up. But if I just stay right in the present, I know that who God is. He's not the God of yesterday, and he's not the God of tomorrow. He's the God of today. And he doesn't need a time machine to take care of what you are missing tonight. He don't need a time machine to get you back. He can take care of it in the moment. Amen. He can take care of it right now. He takes care of the emptiness in the present. And he's asking you tonight, why don't you go get some empty vessels? Why don't you go get what you got that's empty and bring it in this place and let me do what I want to do to your place. Let me fill the house. Let me fill the vessels. He said, and when thou art come in, verse 4 of that chapter, 2 Kings, he says, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. He said, go in with your sons, shut the door, and start pouring the oil. And notice this, that Elisha didn't say, bring me the vessels, and I'm going to start pouring. And I'm going to show you what God can do. You see, I'm just here tonight to speak the word of faith. I'm just here to impart what I know God can do, but I'm not the one that's going to hold the vessels. I'm not the one that's going to go before the Lord and hold those empty vessels out and say, okay, let's start pouring. I wish I could do all of that. I wish I could take some of this anointing oil, and I wish I could take these cloths and I could just see great things happen. I told him, I wish I could have it like baby powder, just sprinkle it over everybody. And boy, I mean, just stuff would start, people would start falling out and things would happen and miracles would take place and it'd all be great. But that's not the way it is. He said, you go in the door and you shut the door and you get the vessels and you take that little jar that you got. Maybe it was possibly not a whole lot more than this, and you start doing the pouring. Come on, quit waiting for Pastor Nealon to do the pouring and the prayer ministry team to do the pouring and everybody else to come along and pour into your empty vessel. You know what you need to do? Take what you got. Get everything that's empty and get before the Lord and say, okay, God, it's time for us to get down to business. I'm tired of the emptiness. I'm tired of emptiness. I want you to start pouring into my life. You see, it's your faith that's going to fill the emptiness. It's your faith that's going to get you out of the situation you're in. When you get tired of living on empty, you'll grab a hold of the words of the prophet. When you get tired of living on empty, you'll grab a hold of the pot of oil. When you get tired of living on empty, you will shut the door and you will allow God to do what he does best, and that is to fill the empty vessel. Spurgeon said this, a full Christ is for empty sinners and for empty sinners only. And as long as there's a real empty soul in a congregation, so long will a blessing go forth with the word and no longer. It is not our emptiness, but our fullness which can hinder the outgoings of free grace. It's those sitting here tonight saying, hey, I'm already full. We already been here once today, I'm full enough. But it's those empty vessels this evening that God's saying, okay, if I could just find an empty spot, let me just find that empty place, and that's where I'm going to work, and that's where I do best, and that's where I operate, where nobody else can operate. You see, you're continuing to live a life of emptiness, and you won't realize you're pretending to be full is keeping God from taking care of everything in your life. Thank you. Isaac said, the oil did not pour on the ground or simply flow about. It was intended for a prepared vessel. In other words, he said, go out and get every vessel you can find and bring it in there. Because the oil wasn't just going to start pouring and then just stop pouring. The oil was going to pour as long as there was an empty vessel to flow into. Oh, come on, church, into Quincy tonight. Come on. As long as there was an empty vessel, the oil was going to flow. And it did flow until every vessel was full. And once it was full, then the oil stopped flowing. Amen. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. If she borrowed a few vessels, she would have a little oil. If she borrowed many vessels, she would be filled and would have much oil. She was herself to measure out what she would have. Are you empty? Are you feeling emptiness in your life? Do you feel like there's a void? Do you feel like there's a need? I tell you what, you bring that emptiness before God, and he will fill it. And he will fill it until that vessel is completely full. Amen? We don't need to get caught up, as Spurgeon said. He finished this out. He said, and I believe that you and I, in the matter of spiritual blessings from God, have more to do with the measurement of our mercies than we think. We make our blessings little because our prayers are little. The oil stopped when the vessels were no longer available. The question tonight is, how much emptiness do you have? How much emptiness are you willing to admit to? How much emptiness are you willing to to admit to. I'm going to tell you, when they started singing that song tonight, I'm standing here in front of a bunch of strangers. I'm at home. I know some people, but I don't know what God really wants to do in this place. I have no idea what he wants to do. And therefore, as you were singing and as you were worshiping, I was worshiping with you. And I was praying, God, you got to help me tonight, because I just got to reach somebody in this place. I got to do something tonight to help fill an emptiness in somebody's life. You see, you may look at me and think I've got it all in control. You may think I've got it all worked out, but I promise you I don't. Without him filling this vessel every day of my life, I am empty. And tonight, if he hadn't filled you already since you've been here, you need to get a refill right now. Amen. There's no need to leave here empty tonight. You need to let God do what he wants to do in your life. And our blessing is going to flow on how much emptiness we really are willing to admit to tonight. How empty are you? How empty are you? I'll tell you, I got a God that responds to emptiness. I've got a God that runs to emptiness. I'm telling you, there's too many that are living on empty. And you need to recognize that you're living on empty and get spiritually hungry for what God really has for your life. Matthew 15. Then Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said, whence should we have come? Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness and so great to fill a multitude? And Jesus said, how many loaves have you? They said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. This miracle was not performed for Jesus to prove who he was. The miracle was performed because the people were empty. It wasn't for him to show again how powerful and mighty and great that he was, but because he recognized as he was ministering to that crowd, there was emptiness in that place. I can tell you, when you walk into a room of this many people, if 1 out of every 3 are chronically lonely, if 20% of Americans are feeling chronically lonely, when you walk into a place like this tonight, there are people that have had harsh thoughts this week. There's people that's felt great emptiness in their life this week. There's somebody that's felt like you didn't know if you was going to be able to go another day, but you made it to Sunday, and you made it to Sunday night. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll just let the Lord, raise that empty vessel up to him tonight and shut the door and start pouring the oil, he's not going to leave you until you are full. John 15 and 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Are you tired of living on empty? Are you tired of living on empty? Without him, we are so empty. Without him, we're living so far below what he has for us. I feel like the Lord wants to fill some vessels in this place. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. For without me, ye can do nothing. Would you bow your heads in this place? Lord, I have tried to minister to your people tonight just for a few moments. I've tried to speak into the lives of people here tonight that are feeling emptiness and loneliness and hurt and pain. And God, you have ministered to them as we raised our voices together in chorus, singing songs of the Lord and singing of how you have filled this place already. And yet some left the worship service still empty in their spirit. But you have let your presence also come in this place through your word tonight. And there are some hungry hearts, oh God. There are some people that are looking for something in their life that this world has never been able to satisfy. You may have owned houses and land, but you're not satisfied. You may have never had things in this life, and you're searching for something so far beyond your reach, and you think it's out of your reach tonight. But I'm here to tell you, if you just pick up what you have, if you just pick up what you have and hold it up before your God tonight, the same God that filled this galaxy with stars, the same God that filled a caterpillar with 27 muscles just to turn his head. You're the God of the small, and you're God of the great, and you're God of the empty vessel tonight. You're the God that can walk through these aisles in this place tonight and begin to speak to a heart that is hurting and a heart that is hungry. Lord, if we could just humble ourselves before you and recognize the true emptiness in our spirit, you would be willing, oh God, to fill us fresh and new. God, let fresh oil flow in this place for just a few moments. God, as we reach our hands towards heaven tonight, just make us a funnel, oh God. Just make us a vessel that's empty before you. I don't believe, Lord, it's no mistake that when we get to the New Testament that you fill us with the Holy Ghost, that you fill us with your presence. Because, God, we've been empty for way too long. And now it's time for that hurting heart tonight, that hurting person, oh Lord, that empty vessel, oh God, to just stretch themselves towards you, to call on your name, to shut the door behind them and let what they have just be poured over, Lord Jesus, into that empty vessel. And you're going to fill it, oh Lord, until every vessel that's empty here tonight wants to be full. You're going to let the oil flow, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. By faith, if you're an empty vessel in this place.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.